if we were all somebody that handled everybody, handled somebody's money, if we messed up like that, we wouldn't have a job, would we?
A little more than 3 inches.
Yeah, that's something. They don't get it right very much, but I'm glad. It's pretty, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is most everybody got power? No, got some that don't. You don't have it, Pam? We'll pray for you guys to have power. 9 o'clock tonight. All right. Well, if you need a bath, my water hose is still working. All right, guys. Well, welcome to North Point. I missed you guys. When I was thinking about this lesson, I don't know about you guys, but Christmas has kind of snuck up on me this year. And I was talking to some of you guys, and it's snuck up on you too. And I don't know if I'm ready for it. I made my first trip to Sam's yesterday. Usually, if your Christmas gift for me is probably going to come from Sam's, or it'll be cash. That's be about it. But I was sitting there thinking, I just don't know if I'm ready for it or not. It's just kind of all of a sudden something here. And then I thought, I got an invitation for a party. And I thought, well, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing parties and office parties. And folks are right now putting up trees. And that's some of what you guys are doing. And nativity scenes and drinking hot chocolate and eggnog and all that stuff, doing the Christmas stuff. You're singing Joy to the World, and you're praying for peace on earth and goodwill toward man. That's what we're going to be doing. It's what we're doing for Christmas. That's what starts to make it feel like Christmas. And Christmas is supposed to be this wonderful time of year. But we know, because it's a fact, that people struggle more with discouragement and depression during the holiday than any other time of the year. And I'm not trying to get you down. It's just a fact. They struggle with it more than any other time of the year. One survey that I read this week said 45% of Americans dread the holiday season just because it's another reminder of an absent loved one, or a lost job, or a painful divorce, or unrealized dreams. It's just a reminder. And some people think, well, just another year passed by. And they get depressed because another year has passed by. And so as I was sitting there walking around Sam's yesterday, I was trying to think of, to add to this. How do we, get through these holiday blues? Because almost half of y'all are discouraged, if this survey is right. Almost half of y'all are borderline depressed about the holidays, if this survey is right. So I want to talk to you about that this morning. Because I think that you can sum up the answer in one word, how to get through these holiday blues. Hope. I believe hope's the one word answer that can get us through there. Hope is the essential ingredient for an abundant life. Hope is it. Hope is the essential ingredient. And this is the life that Jesus wants for us. If you get your top of your outline out, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Guys, we need hope. I read a book a while back, and I'm not going to quote it exactly right, but during the Auschwitz prison, there's a doctor, Viktor Frankl, there am I saying that right? Auschwitz? And he made an observation of the prisoners. One's with hope and one was not. And he wrote this, if I can remember right. The prisoner that loses faith in his future was doomed. When he lost his belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hope, and then he let himself decline and became subject to mental and physical decay. When he lost hope, that was Dr. Viktor Frankl, I believe, if I remember that was right. Hope is a powerful force in the human heart. And the thing about hope is it can really dissipate quickly. Hope can dissipate quickly during the Christmas season. But there is hope, and that's why I want to talk to you. And I'm not talking about a feeling of optimism, because some of you, you know, everything's not okay right now. Everything's just not okay. And so I don't want to seem fake. I don't want to talk about that. But I believe that true and genuine hope is available to every one of us and is a result of a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe it's available to every one of us. You know, Jesus wasn't just he was more than a baby that was born 2,000 years ago to a poor family on the outskirts of nowhere. There's something different about Jesus. And when you and me, when we discover those differences, we're going to be surprised by hope. We're going to be surprised by hope. 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a prophet that declared almost the qualities of a coming Savior. And he wrote this in Isaiah 9 at the top of your outline. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called, here's the four qualities: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These four qualities describe the coming Savior, whom we know now to be Jesus Christ. He was born 2,000 years ago. This child, Jesus, this is what we celebrate this Christmas. Jesus was the Son that was given, and when you put your faith on him, you're believing in these qualities, I'm going to be surprised by hope. If we think about these qualities, let's jump right in here, the four qualities of a Savior here. And the first quality that Isaiah used of this coming Savior was Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. So filling in your blanks here, it says, Jesus as my counselor reveals God's love for me. Jesus as my counselor reveals God's love for me. This supernatural act of God sending his son to die for us on a cross is the greatest act of love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ came as the embodiment of God's unconditional love, and he died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and mine, and everyone that puts their faith in him.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. John 3:16, I love it in the Amplified Version. For God so greatly and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts, clings to, relies on him shall not perish or come to destruction, be lost, but eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge or to reject, to condemn, or pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Man, Jesus Christ didn't come and die just so that we would go to heaven. Jesus Christ died so that you and I could get to God.
Amen.
So that we could get to God. I mean, do you realize that the God of the universe wants to be with you? I mean, it's a big deal. The God of the universe? Let me just give you something I read a couple of weeks on the universe. Do you know how many Earths that it would take to build the sun? 96,000 Earths. Oh, it don't stop there. This is like a Ginsu knife commercial. There's another planet called Artemis. It would take 17,500 suns to build it. And it ain't over. There's more bigger than that. And he loves us greater than all the universe. Greater than all of that. Isn't that something? Because he loves it more than that. God wants to be with us. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to pay the price for your sin and my sin. He loves us beyond understanding. I was sitting there trying to think of the word yesterday, and I said, it's incomprehensible how much he loves us. I don't know why he loves us that much. But when we believe in the enormity of this love and his intensity of wanting just to be with us, we'll be surprised by hope. We will be surprised by hope. Second quality is this. Isaiah said, he's a mighty God. He will be a mighty God. This is the one I like. This is the quality, the character that I'm clinging to this Christmas. Jesus, as the mighty God, is in control of all things. As the mighty God, he's in control of all things. To me, it's one of the attributes that's most comforting, is that he is sovereign. He's in control. Just knowing that nothing happens in my life is outside of his knowing, or nothing that happens in my life that's outside of his control. That's all right. Nothing is outside of his control. The good, the bad, and the ugly things that happens in my life, he's aware of it, and he's working behind the scenes. He's aware of it. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Jesus doesn't cause the bad and ugly things in my life and in your life, but he allows them in order to grow our faith. That's right. He allows them in order to mature our character more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. He allows them. I'm going to tell you something, guys. What I try to remember is that there will be no transformation without tribulation. There's going to be some pain. It's going to be some good and bad and ugly. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. He tells the people in 2 Peter, the same thing. And I want you to think about something, who the audience is here. These people that Peter was talking to, that they're being ridden by a bad government, man. I mean, they were under intense persecution when Peter wrote this letter here. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire. Tested and purified as fire and gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, not a few trials, many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Christians were under intense persecution. But what Peter's saying here is live life with one eye on eternity. Live life with one eye on eternity. Many trials, not few. I'm going to tell you something, guys. God accomplishes his purposes through your problems. Amen. God accomplishes his purposes through your problems. He has a reason. He's working. He's in control. So no matter what is happening in your life, you can be confident that Jesus, the mighty God, is in complete control. He has all authority. He has all power. He is quite literally holding your life together. Amen. Holding it together. When I say that, what I mean by this, all matter, and I'm not a scientist, nowhere near it. Most time they wouldn't even let me walk by the science class in high school. But I remember something about protons and neutrons, and I remember reading before a couple of years ago that really they shouldn't be able to come together. Something about one of them being positive, one of them being negative, and if they did, they should be exploding. And we should have little old mini explosions happening all the time. But scientists say something that they don't know is holding them together. I'm here to tell you, according to the Bible, it's not something, it's someone. It's someone holding them together. Colossians 1, right there at the bottom of the outline, in Him, Jesus, all things hold together. Hold together. Jesus holds all things together. I'm telling you guys, according to the Word of God, Jesus is literally holding all things together. Guys, not only did Jesus come to create the universe, He sustains it. He didn't just build it. According to this, He's holding it together. Let me give you a drink of water. He is the power. This was a quote. I don't know who wrote it, so don't even ask me. He is the power behind every consistency in the universe. He is the power. An idea or a philosophy or a virtue doesn't hold the universe together. Jesus does. The resurrected Christ. Without Him, planets would not orbit. Without Jesus Christ, gravity would cease to work. He holds everything together. So if you do you really think that if Jesus can hold this planet and this universe together on a subatomic level, that your problems are difficult for Him? Do you see what I'm saying? No, they're not. There is nothing that happens in your life that is outside of the power of Jesus Christ. Nothing. We tend to want Him to give Him the big things like our eternal life. We tend to want to give Him some of those big things, but then we want to hold on to a lot of things too. We say, "Well, trust You with this, Jesus, but I don't really trust You with that." Well, how's that working for you? How's that working for you on the things that you haven't trusted Him with? He wants me and you to put it all at His feet. It's His character. He's loving. It's His nature. He is God. 1 Peter on the backside. Where am I? Second page. I didn't way ahead up somewhere. Oh, I don't know where he's at. I'm off lost. Will you let Him? 1 Peter 3:10. All right. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. Do you trust Him? We trust Him with the big stuff. He says, cast all your fears. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Will you let Him or will you resist Him? When you believe that there's a mighty God working on your behalf and in control, you're going to be surprised by hope. You're going to be surprised by hope. Third quality that Isaiah used to describe Jesus is this: everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Jesus, as the everlasting Father, keeps His promises. A father keeps his promises. My kids are grown now, but I remember them growing up. Whenever we'd go somewhere, do something, one of the things that they'd always say is, "Daddy, do you promise? Daddy, do you promise?" And whenever they said, "Daddy," if I said yes, if I promised, I tried to do everything in my power to keep that promise. I wanted them to always depend on me. I wanted them to always know that I would be there. And that when Daddy made his promise, it was as good as done. Now, there was times when I'd say, "Well, we'll see." He knew that wasn't happening then. Or if I said, "One of these days we'll come back," we wasn't coming back. But if I said, "I promise." If I said, "I promise," it was as good as done. It was binding. Those are the attributes of a father. And you see, Jesus Christ was born. The Jesus Christ that we celebrate this Christmas has these attributes of our Heavenly Father. He keeps His promises. Hebrews 1:3 says, He, Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God. the light being the outlaying and the radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. His nature. Jesus has the same heart for us as the Father. He always keeps his promises. I want you to read, I want to read you some of these promises. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, you can believe it. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You can believe it. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. You can believe it. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen. Surely I will help you. Surely I will withhold you with my righteous right hand. Yeah. You can believe it. He keeps his promises. And when you believe that Jesus Christ's love is greater for you than anything in the universe, and that he is an everlasting Father, that he always keeps his promises, you will be surprised by hope. Hope is here. Yeah. Hope. Let me tell you something about hope. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This ain't over. This ain't over. He's preparing a place for us. Fourth quality is this. Isaiah used to describe it, a Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has made peace between God and me. He has made peace between God and you. Isaiah is specifically referring to the fact that Jesus Christ has made peace between you and God. You see, because before someone trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are a sinner separated from a holy and righteous God. Amen. That's just the way it is. And so there's this barrier between them. And there's this price that needed to be paid for sin and to be forgiven. Let me tell you something. The closer I get to God and the more I read, because God is righteous, he doesn't say boys will be boys. He don't say girls will be girls. He can't. It would violate his nature as a holy and righteous God.
Come on, brother.
It would violate him. So God has to punish sin. Now that's the bad news. The good news is Jesus took that punishment on himself on the cross. That's good news. You see, before Christ, all we could expect to receive from the Father God is his wrath. But Jesus took upon himself the wrath of God for your sin and for your mind. God poured out an entire cup of his wrath on his Son. His entire cup. Do you know what that means? There ain't no wrath left for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Who have put their faith in him. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about the wrath of God, because Jesus took it all.
That's right.
He shed his blood and he paid the penalty that you and I deserved. He paid it. So once you put in your faith in him as your Savior, trusting his sacrifice and the payment for his sin, you are reconciled to God the Father. Peace has been made. Jesus made the peace between you and God. Colossians, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, has made peace between me and you and the Father. I'm going to tell you what. When you believe that, you'll be surprised by hope. Which of these four qualities do you need today? I needed to know the one that was a mighty God. I needed to dwell on that the last few days, that he was in control. That was me personally. Maybe you need to know all four qualities. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You decide. Let's pray. Lord, I can't wait to meet Isaiah. I wonder when I was reading it this week, how many people must have thought he was just crazy.